This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. Talk at talklouisiana.org is our email address. And Quinn Hillier and Faye Williams are on deck to talk about the world at large. Quinn joining us from Alabama, the former Louisiana Politico, who is a person of renown in conservative circles, but through the years, as we know, no fan of Donald John Trump. And somehow, some way, the former president continues to make the news. Faye is president of the National Congress of Urban Women, a Louisiana political legend who never won a race here, but in the year of 1986, in a district that was only 38% black, she came within a few thousand votes of defeating one Clyde Holloway and has been a major player on Capitol Hill. Those two have been together a few times through the years on this show. And if you'd like to join us again, 877-217-5757. If you missed part of the show today and want to share it with others, the way to do it is to go online anytime at WRKF.org or on the NPR One app or subscribe to Talk Louisiana on Google Podcasts. And there are all kinds of things happening today. There was a relatively good inflation report today, so the stock market is roaring, at least in the early going, up 527 points as the Dow, now standing at 33,301, and it was at 31,000 when Joseph Robinette Biden took office on January 20th, 2021, which was a year and about 7 months ago. So his performance on the market is okay, not great, not as good as Donald Trump's, but Trump's wasn't as good as Obama's, and Obama's wasn't as good as Clinton's. And here we are with an inflation problem in our country, and it today people are celebrating because it went down to 8.5% last month. But before we go there, the world is abuzz about Donald John Trump, who manages to continue to manipulate the news cycle, either wittingly or unwittingly, and there are all kinds of stories today, not only about what happened in Mar-a-Lago, but today he is to be deposed by lawyers from New York Attorney General Letitia James's office. People familiar with the matter are telling CNN that the two adversaries will go against each other. This is a more than three-year-old civil investigation into Trump's finances. It's unclear whether the former president will answer questions or assert his Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. Trump said in a post that he would be seeing James for a continuation of, quote, the greatest witch hunt in U.S. history. My great company and myself are being attacked from all sides, Banana Republic. That from Donald Trump. And this, of course, is with the backdrop of a search carried out Monday at Mar-a-Lago by the FBI as Trump's home was searched for documents that are missing that he purportedly took with him when he left office. The National Archives wants the documents back because they're classified, and it's serious business. Remember, Donald Trump, of course, bloviated for many years about Hillary Clinton and taking classified information, and where are the missing emails? Remember that mantra? Well, where are the missing documents? But did the FBI go too far? Some saying, yes, they did. And one of those is the minority leader, Kevin McCarthy, who is now calling for an investigation of Merrick Garland, the Attorney General of the United States. Quinn Hillier, I know you're no fan of Donald Trump, but did the FBI go too far? No. Do we have Quinn? There we go. Quinn, did the FBI go too far?
Hello?
Yes, you were on, my friend. What about the FBI?
I missed all of that because my the phones kept going out.
Okay, I think we're having some difficulty, but we got you. You're coming through loudly and clearly, and I know you have opined about this, so I don't think you necessarily had to hear what I was saying. What about the Trump search, the search of Trump's home in Florida? Is this a bridge too far, or is it the right move by the Federal Bureau of Investigation?
We don't know, and what's really bad is everybody jumping to conclusions and having freakouts about it. There is plenty of reason to distrust the FBI and the Justice Department, and I've written about plenty of those reasons. There is also every reason to believe that, you know, that there might be legitimate reasons for this. We know that Trump was engaged in a lot of nefarious, if not illegal, activities, and you know, there could be any number of things that the FBI is investigating that everybody knows about. So why don't everybody withhold judgment, stop jumping to conclusions, stop freaking out, and let this play out and see whether it turns out to have been justified or not.
Well, what
Jim,
about...
may I comment on that,
well,
too?
Yeah, okay. Oh, Faye is joining us. Dr. Faye Williams, your thoughts?
Yeah. How can one man always claim to be the victim when he had the most powerful job in the country, and yet he didn't know that he was supposed to leave those documents? They didn't belong to him personally, that they belonged to the people. So you also have to remember the FBI director who allowed this to go on was appointed by Trump, and Trump said all kinds of nice things about Christopher Wray. Biden didn't fire Christopher Wray. He kept him there. And this is who led that investigation. So all they're doing is looking for the information to verify what they already know, because they had to prove to a judge that there was possibly a crime committed before they went in there. They didn't just make the decision on their own. I think the attorney general has been very patient with Trump and what he has claimed and what he has done. And then you have to add to that, there is a judge who has already ruled he probably has committed some crimes.
All right. Well, we're hearing from Dr. Williams, who, of course, is no fan of the former president. And this, I think she made some excellent points. But this particular move by the FBI has gone right along the partisan divide, Quinn. Those who are in favor of Donald Trump say it's a witch hunt. And those who are against him say that it's an important thing to do. So, yeah, you're not a Trumpster, but you are a Republican. You agreed with many of his policies. That's why I like having you on the show. Your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are, first of all, Christopher Wray might have been chosen by Trump, but he long ago proved that he had been captured by the FBI culture. I wrote a column that just happened to be just in the last week. In fact, I think it was Friday, again, saying what a terrible, horrible job Christopher Wray had done in cleaning out the FBI. I listed all sorts of different things that that he had failed to clean up, and all he ever does is defend the bad activities of the FBI. So he is not a Trump person.
But is he a Biden person, though, as people
well,
are saying?
He certainly has tended to cover up for people that have been, A, covering up for Biden, and B, acting as partisan Democrats, and C, abusing the rights of plenty of people. A 2019 internal audit by the FBI found that in 724 cases of just high-profile targets, which was
all right,
about
okay.
half of the cases they surveyed, the FBI agents broke their own laws.
All right, I'd rather not get bogged down on Christopher Wray, but there is a political element here. Let's talk about the implications of this. We don't know what's happened. And to their credit, Schumer and Pelosi are not piling on. They're saying, let's wait and see, just what you said, Quinn. But nonetheless, we've got midterm elections coming in just a few months, and this could have an effect. Will it be a positive effect or a negative one? Faye, your thoughts?
Well, I don't know whether it will have a positive or negative because we don't know how it's going to come out. One of the things about me is that I'm willing to wait to see, and I think that Attorney General Garland, you know, has done the same thing. He didn't rush into doing this, and he's not the one who announced that it was going on. It was Donald Trump who announced that the search was going on. It could have all gone without a lot of fanfare, I'm sure, until something was proven. But remember, it wasn't the FBI that made the decision to do this. They simply carried out what they had presented to a judge who agreed with them and said there is probable cause to believe that a crime has been committed. They haven't proven it. It still has to be proved.
All right. Quinn, will this backfire on Democrats with, the of course, the Democrats controlling the Congress and the presidency.
It's going to backfire on everybody. Right now, you've got an absolutely enraged Republican base. It was starting to sort of calm down. Now they're enraged again, and for the fall elections, it'll probably help Republicans. On the other hand, it also, by doing that, it makes Trump a sympathetic figure again among Republicans, which makes it more likely that he will run, more likely that he will win the nomination, and therefore more likely that Republicans will lose in 2024 because Trump is a loser. So this plays in all sorts of different cross-cutting ways politically.
We have to take a short break, but we will return in 90 seconds. If you'd like to join us, 877-217-5757. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Robin Dow is producing, and again, your number is 877-217-5757. The New York Times from Michael Shear puts it this way. The fight between former President Trump and the National Archives burst into the open as FBI agents searched Trump's Palm Beach estate. No precedent in American political history is there for this, and it's also a high-risk gamble by Merrick Garland. The law enforcement operation at Mar-a-Lago is unprecedented. The former president's sprawling home in Florida is, of course, the focus now of the world, and those on the Donald side are saying the FBI went way too far, and others are saying, look, he took classified documents. He should get the same treatment that Hillary Clinton got when people went nuts about missing emails, including one Mr. Trump. Now, at the same time, and I mentioned this in the open, and I don't think either Quinn or Faye could hear it, but the former president is, according to reports, to be deposed by lawyers today in New York. In fact, he wasn't at home in Florida because he was preparing for this deposition with New York Attorney General Letitia James, and it is regarding his finances. So Quinn Hillier, Donald Trump is a resilient fellow. He's fighting on multiple fronts, and yet he's still planning on running for president. I tell you what, if I woke up in the morning and had as many investigations against me as he does, I don't think I'd want to go out in public. But there he is. He's apparently going to be deposed, and that's something, as we know, he does not like to go under oath. Your thoughts?
Mine? I just saw that he took the fifth in that other investigation, which is probably wise because just about anything he says could incriminate himself. Look, he was lucky to escape prosecution, had to do all sorts of dances to escape prosecution for his illegal Trump University. He has skirted the edge of the legal line many, many times. He spent his last 40 years under investigation for various things. This is just like an ordinary day for him. And the only shame of it is that he has been able to afford so many lawyers that he has actually avoided conviction when plenty of times he has deserved it.
Well, and Trump in the past has said about others who took the Fifth Amendment that it means you're guilty. Faye Williams?
Absolutely. I was going to say that, Jim. So why does it not apply to him? I think he has this feeling that nothing, no laws apply to him. Why do I have to give up my taxes every year? Why do I have to pay? And just because he was president, that he doesn't have to. And the other thing he's doing is putting it out there automatically that, that Tish James is a racist. Well, I don't consider every white person I know that maybe I don't agree with, I don't call them a racist. Additionally, just because Tish James is black doesn't mean she's a racist. He hasn't shown us what she has done to prove that she's a racist. But even so, he has to follow the law. That's what doesn't seem to come through to him, is that he is an ordinary person. And as the Attorney General said, no one is above the law. He thinks he is.
All right, Jesse and Gonzalez, please be brief. You're on with Dr. Williams and Quinn Hillier, Jesse.
Hey, good morning, Jim. Good morning to your guests there. I just wanted to make a comment about President Donald Trump there. I'm just curious when the GOP is going to finally jump off of that sinking ship and maybe take somebody more in the center. Ryan has been talked a lot about.
All right. Well, Quinn, it would seem right now the prospective backup for Trump is Governor DeSantis of Florida. I wouldn't call him a centrist, but your thoughts about the options for the GOP in 2 years?
Well, if Trump would get out of the way, there are plenty of really good options, starting with Tim Scott of South Carolina, Ben Sasse of Nebraska, Mike Pence, the former vice president who did the right thing on January 6th. I could go on with a long list, but the problem is this search warrant has made people rally around the flag of Donald Trump again, and makes it more likely that he will be the nominee, which means Republicans seem to have a death wish.
Now, Faye Williams, the New York Times has excoriated Democrats for actually funding pro-Trump candidates in Republican primaries, hoping they will get the nomination from their party and be in a runoff with a Democrat, making it more likely a Democrat will win. Now, that's politics, but is that politics that is in poor taste, your observation?
You know, Jim, when I get so many requests from Democrats and from Republicans every day about money, I think that was a misuse of money. I think it was a mistake. I think that we should run on our own record, because President Biden has a great record at the beginning. No matter what the polls are saying about where he is in it and whether he should run again, all you got to do is look at all the good things that the Democrats have done under his presidency. So I think that was a mistake to do that.
All right. David in Atlanta, please be brief. David, you're on with Quinn and Faye.
Well, I think you fight fire with fire, and the Democrats are doing the right thing, because in the past, the Republicans have done the same thing. And as Casey Stengel said, nice guys finish last.
Well, politics is a tough business, and there is no doubt that sometimes you have to game the system. But, Quinn, it just seems to be getting worse rather than better. I don't see any chance of two sides coming together on anything.
Very, very little chance, except on something called the Electoral Count Act, where there is bipartisan reform brewing. To fix the system so it's more clear, so you don't have a situation like what happened last January 6th. And there is some bipartisan movement on that, thank goodness. But on just about everything else, you're right, Jim. It's a bad situation. Nobody's working with each other.
Greg in Natchitoches. Greg, you're on with Faye and Quinn. Hi, Greg. Good morning, sir.
Okay, good morning to Jim, to you and your guest. The question, the thing that worries me is not so much Trump himself, but his supporters. If this stuff doesn't go his way, I'm really concerned we might have January 6th 2.0. What are your thoughts?
Faye?
Well, I think there's some who are already calling for a civil war, but I should think that every American, without regard to what party you're in or whether you're in a party, you should be concerned about knowing whether this was classified information that could do damage to this country, and what did Trump do with it? What were his intentions when he took all of that information? I think that's the critical question right now.
Now, something I did want to talk with each of you about is that amid all this chaos about Trump, and as I said, even without trying, he monopolizes the news cycle, but the big story should have been for the Democrats to take a victory lap. Now, I don't think Quinn likes the legislation, but they did get it through. Amazingly, Joe Manchin had an epiphany at the 11th hour, as did Kyrsten Sinema, and it is a measure that it's not what Joe Biden wanted, but at least it's something as far as addressing climate change and taxing big corporations. Quinn, I suspect you don't like this measure, but your thoughts about what happened over the weekend?
Well, the Senate passed a big, huge tax and spend and sick 87,000 IRS agents on the public bill. Let's see if the House will pass it. The House doesn't take it up till Friday. It is an absolutely terrible bill, but the single worst provision is the one that adds $80 billion over 10 years for the IRS. And of that, 14 times as much is for audits, which are going to be mostly fall on people under $100,000, despite what the White House says.
They would object to that.
No,
Quinn, but
Excuse me. No, let me finish, Jim. The Joint Committee on Taxation has already said that most of the audits will fall on people that are not millionaires, not even making over
$500,000. Does that mean that's right? Bill was designed to go after big corporations.
No. You're talking about the tax provisions. I'm talking about the IRS audit provisions will fall mostly on middle to lower middle income people. And there's 14 times as much money for going after people as there is for more help for people that are trying to get help from the IRS. And right now, the IRS is answering only 10% of all phone calls.
All right.
Only 10%.
We do have to take a break, and we will return and spend a few more minutes with Gwen Hillier and Faye Williams after this quick timeout on Talk Louisiana. If you'd like to get in under the wire, 877-217-5757. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana and responding to Gwen Hillier, our guest, along with Faye Williams, his statements a few moments ago. More than two-thirds of registered voters support boosting the IRS budget to strengthen tax enforcement. That budget was eviscerated under Donald Trump. This is from a poll last year by the University of Maryland, and the IRS commissioner, Charles Rettig, says the $80 billion in funding would not increase audits of households making less than $400,000 per year. But Quinn says it will, and he has some people who agree with him, and we shall see if it passes. And of course, it's not a certainty. But Faye Williams, I don't think I got your take on it. Did you like the bill, or was it not enough?
I think like many progressives, we wanted more, but we're sensible and we settle for the best that we can get among the thinking of both Democrats and Republicans. If you'll, see it, Bill Cassidy and John Kennedy from Louisiana voted to keep the price ceiling in the bill for various things. And, I thought they did it the right way, but we couldn't get to 60 votes, so we had to settle. That's what being in Congress and the Senate are about, is negotiating the best that they can get among the people. And at a certain point, there's nothing more you can do. But it's a great bill. I mean, veterans, these people were out there all night demonstrating. They had to go out there and do that to get a bill passed or get that in the bill. That should not have happened. That was all in this bill that the Democrats just signed, and Mr. Biden is signing that today.
Scott in Central. Scott, good morning. You're on with Gwen Hillier and Faye Williams. Hi, Scott.
Hey, good morning. I just wanted to second David's comment earlier. I'm just glad to see the Democrats getting tough finally, because the Republicans have been playing dirty tricks for decades, and I'm just glad they're leveling the playing field. Well, and on the IRS, I'll just say this: had the Republicans not gutted the IRS, maybe there'd be a lot more people to help callers. Thank you.
All right. Well, I don't think either party has a monopoly on virtue. But we're in a case where we've got people fighting with each other, and the South has become Trump land, other than Georgia, Quinn, the 11 states of the SEC represent more than 150 electoral votes. I think for those who discount Donald Trump, even under siege, they take the risk of having the same development that occurred in 2016. He is far from through if he survives all these legal entanglements.
He is far from through. Let me just go back to this. The Joint Committee on Taxation, which is Congress's official tax
board. I know you said that.
I heard you the first time, Quinn.
I'm telling you that the IRS commissioner and the president disagree with you, but you may be right.
Excuse me, but this is a Democratic-controlled Congress, and the Democratic-controlled Joint Committee on Taxation says 78% to 90% of the money raised will come from those making less than $200,000 a year. That's the exact statistic.
Well, the commissioner of the IRS differs with you. He says no household under $400,000 will be affected. Now, if somebody makes $75,000 and their spouse makes $325,000, well, yes, they would be affected. But $400,000 in Louisiana is a lot of money for a household.
the Joint Committee on Taxation. Congress is the one that passes the bill, and Congress's own committee says up to 90% will come from those making under $200,000 a year.
Well, I remember Michael Dukakis when he ran for president in 1988. That was one of his big mantras, is we're going to get more IRS agents. And you see what good it did him. He lost by the same amount of votes, 7 million, that Donald Trump lost by. This is something that politically, again, has some peril when you're talking about IRS agents. Most people don't like when they're audited. It's not a pleasant feeling. Randy and Zachary. Randy, good morning. You're on with Faye and Quinn. Hi, Randy.
Yes, but I think the whole process there, the way they're ramming it through like that, it's a lousy deal. The American people are going to suffer from it. Thanks.
All right, Randy. Well, you're not alone. Carol in Jefferson. Carol, good morning. You're on with Faye and Quinn. Hi, Carol. Carol, good morning.
Oh, good morning. I'm sorry. Yes, apparently you hadn't really read the tax code. Poor people don't pay much taxes. You got to make $25,000 as a household to even start. And if you're scared of the IRS, quit cheating. Thank you.
Well, there are only 125 million taxpayers in the whole country. We've got 330 million people. Now, that means some people at the lower ends are not paying taxes, but it also means a lot of people at the higher ends, like our former president, are not paying taxes. Quinn, would you have an objection of going after people like Trump who managed to game the tax system? Would that be a problem for you?
I've got absolutely no problem with enforcing the law. What I have a problem with is stepped-up audits that are way out of proportion to anything that is a problem when you're not actually serving ordinary taxpayers who can't get their phone calls answered.
All right.
If you want to fix the IRS, beef up the help desk. Don't beef up the random audits that ensnare ordinary people. Five times as many ordinary people were audited in 2021 than people making over $300,000 a year.
Okay. All right. Well, that's an issue, and I agree with you that the big problems are at the top end, not in middle-class people who are trying to make ends meet and certainly don't want to, just the pain of dealing with an audit. James Comey, by the way, just had a major audit, an audit that was politically motivated, according to most sources, and he ended up getting a refund after a three-year audit, but his bill for his attorneys exceeded his refund by a huge amount. But Faye Williams, I think most people would be concerned that IRS agents would be looking in places that are not really fruitful as far as addressing the huge deficit, which Joe Biden is reducing, by the way. It went from $2.3 trillion to $1 trillion. That's a story that's not being told very much. $2.3 trillion to $1 trillion in 1 year, but we still have a huge problem with the debt and the deficit. We've got to have people pay their fair share in taxes. Your thoughts?
Well, yeah, obviously so. I mean, nobody likes the IRS. If you get a letter from the IRS, we're all upset no matter what party we're in, what have you. But we just want to be treated fairly. That's all. I think right now, though, Jim, rather than being so concerned about what we pay, especially if we make a lot of money, we should be more concerned about whether our democracy will survive all of this. And there is reason to believe that we're losing it. I know as a black person, we're concerned about voting rights and losing it. We're concerned as a woman, I'm concerned about women losing their rights. And now I have to be concerned about whether we're losing our democracy, no matter whether it's taxes or anything else. I think that's where our attention should go.
Well, we thank both of you, astute analysts on opposite sides of the spectrum. And Quinn, I hope you're wrong, but I'll fully concede you may be right about the tax provision, the IRS provision. So I hope you'll keep coming back. Thank you, sir. And thank you,
thank
Faye.
You, Jim. Appreciate
an honor
it.
Always
thank
to speak
you.
With Dr.
Sure.
Faye Williams, a Louisiana
thank
resident.
You. Bye-bye.
And we're joined by a sports writing icon, Glenn Gilbo. He's written for The Advocate and for Gannett, and now he is with Outkick.com, one of these website entities that is doing well, I understand, covering the Southeastern Conference. But on the side, he has written a book with Leo Honeycutt. He basically took the baton from Leo, who spent about 5 years writing a book about Skip Bertman, And Skip Bertman brought in Glenn Gilbo, and now we have a book that is out, a beautiful cover, Everything Matters in Baseball, The Skip Bertman Story. Good morning, Glenn Gilbo.
Good morning, Jim. Hey, Jim, how are you?
I'm doing well, and Glenn is recovering from COVID. And by the way, Foster Campbell was slated to be with us today, the public service commissioner, but he had a four-wheeler accident, and I remember he survived a car accident that almost killed him in 1988, but he broke his neck, and his neurosurgeon's son has put him back together again, and he is recovering well, and I have talked with him. He sounds like the old Foster, but he has some recovering to do, and he said that he would rather be fully with it to do a radio show. You can imagine, I'm surmising, he did not tell me, but I would imagine he's taking some heavy-duty pharmaceuticals because of the intense pain involved in something like that. But we wish Foster Campbell well, and he is a tough, tough, tough guy. But Skip Bertman, his book, is his biography, long-awaited, is out and about from Glenn Gilbo. And what a story. National champions, 1991, 1993, right? 96, 97, and 2000. Did I get it right?
Yes, sir.
Five of them. Five of them. Five of them in a decade. He was pretty good.
Yeah, he was. He was. There's a chapter on each championship, and a couple of them have some extra chapters on it. And there's a chapter on the sixth title that Skip likes to call the 1989 team that won at number one A&M but didn't win in Omaha. But it's I hope everybody reads it. It was hard to do, but it was fun to do. Really, Skip was great, very accessible, along with all of his players. I talked to almost 200 people all together.
Well, the book is Everything Matters in Baseball. It is available pre-orders at AcadianHouse.com. Is that correct, Glenn?
Yes, sir. AcadianHouse.com, you scroll down past Pete Maravich picture and hit sports, and the Skip Bertman book is the first one up there. You can order it for pre-order it for $30. The book is out, but won't be in stores and for sale live for a few weeks.
All right. Well, Skip Bertman, of course, was an athletic director as well, and he was AD during the Nick Saban years. There are some stories to be told about that, and we'll get Glenn's review of how far Skip was willing to go. And a listener, this is Collis Temple asking, did Skip talk about Albert Bell? We'll get Glenn's review. Skip has been silent about Albert Bell for many years, his greatest player. We'll talk about it when we return. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Robin Dow producing your number 877-217-5757. Glenn Gilbo is with us for a few moments, recovering from COVID. He's usually in studio. He is with OutKick.com, also a veteran writer for many years, columnist for Tiger Rag Magazine, a publication that yours truly is involved with. But his latest work is Everything Matters in Baseball, The Skip Bertman Story. Collis Temple asked, did he go there? Did he talk about Albert Bell, or is that still off limits, Glenn Gilbo?
There's a little bit on Albert Bell in the book. Skip calls him one of the best hitters he ever had, but there's a lot of things I wanted in the book that aren't in there, and that's more on Albert Bell. Skip talked about that with me, and so did a lot of players. Albert Bell and Skip didn't get along. Skip gave Albert many chances and finally had to let him go after his players said that he needed to be let go. And yet Albert was a great teammate. Most of his teammates, stand by him. But there were many incidents besides the publicized ones, and eventually Skip had to let him go, and it cost him a national championship. If he'd have kept Albert or Joey at the time, and it would have been hard to see them not winning at all.
In 87.
In 87, yes. I talked to Skip quite a bit about Albert, but not much of that made it in the book.
Well, Albert Bell hit 381 career home runs. A career cut short by a hip problem, but He, according to none other than Paul Maneri, who coached both Aaron Nola and Alex Bregman, Paul Maneri says, without a doubt, Albert Bell is the greatest player in LSU baseball history. Mike, I don't know where he's calling from, but Mike in Baton Rouge, I think. No, he's actually in Mississippi. Mike, good morning. You're on with Glenn Gilbo. Hi, Mike.
Yes, sir. Hi, Jim. I'm wondering how Skip Bertman managed to let go of Pat Henry, the most successful coach in LSU sports history, with more national championships to his credit than the national championships that have been earned by the rest of the LSU sports teams since the opening of the university.
What happened with Pat Henry skipping town, going to Texas A&M? What's the story behind that, Glenn?
Well, Skip wanted to keep Pat Henry. There's no question about it, but they couldn't pay him what Texas A&M was paying him. Or they, you know, they probably could have, but they decided not to pay him quite that much. And he moved on. But the track coach that Skip hired to replace him, his name escapes me right now. He's the track coach right now.
Schaefer, Dennis Schaefer, yeah.
Yeah. He was one of four coaches hired by Skip that won national championships at LSU. Schaefer, Les Miles, Paul Maneri, and Chuck Winstead, the golf coach he hired. But yeah, Pat Henry got away. But yeah, that's a little known fact. Skip actually is responsible for 9 national championships at LSU, the 5 as a coach and 4 with people he hired.
Now, he had some differences with Nick Saban. Those two, though, of course, are cut of the same cloth. And Saban now speaks glowingly of Skip Bertman. He's put any differences he had aside, and why wouldn't he? It worked out pretty well for Nick. But what did he say, if anything, that's in the book regarding the most celebrated coach in LSU history, Nick Lou Saban?
Well, that's a great part of the book, I think, that I'm proud of. And actually, I covered that closely at the time. I don't remember Saban having a lot of difficulties with Skip. He liked Skip immediately because Skip was older than him, number one. And Skip was the first AD that Nick worked for who was a coach. So Nick really liked Skip. And Skip was one of the few people Nick listened to. There's a lot in there about Skip trying to get Nick to stay at LSU, and his words came out true. And Nick brought that up. He said that I talked to Nick and Destin a couple of years ago for the book. And Nick said that Skip told him when he was, you know, about to go to Miami, he said, look, you might not like it out there. You might regret this. And what he said came true. Yeah. And Nick remembers that.
Well, I remember Skip Bertman telling me a story that, Chancellor Emmert was on the team plane with a big booster for LSU, and they were laughing and carrying on, and Saban didn't like that. He thought it was all business, and these guys shouldn't have such frivolity. And he wanted Skip to write Emmert a letter saying, look, we don't want frivolity on the plane, and we don't want that booster to come back. And Bertman said, okay, I'll write the letter. And, of course, he didn't write the letter, and Skip kept sending his secretary over to get the letter. And then finally the secretary came with a letter signed that was written by Saban that Bertman said he did sign and send to Chancellor Emmert, telling him to basically cut it, not act up on the team plane anymore. So that's an example of a minor collision. But
yeah,
Skip laughed about it. He said he immediately called Emmert and said, I didn't write the letter, but it's got my name on it.
Well, that was another incident when they used to do that off-season tour. Nick was speaking in Biloxi with Skip, and Nick got aggravated at some fan. And Nick told Skip, we're not going to Biloxi ever again. And Skip said, well, now, wait a second. It's just one guy, Nick. We'll go to Biloxi again, and I'll make sure that guy's not there. You know, so Skip was always kind of dealing with him, and Skip helped Nick. Like he told Nick, mm-hmm. same thing he did with John Brady. He told him to try to be funny and tell more stories to the press, you know, at the press conferences. And Nick did that, you know. And like I said, you know, Skip was one of the few people that Saban listened to when he was at LSU.
The book is Everything Matters in Baseball, The Skip Bertman Story, Glenn Gilbo with Leo Honeycutt. We'll talk more as we get closer to the football season with Glenn Gilbo. And a reminder that the Baton Rouge Bowl between LSU and Southern is 1 month from today at Tiger Stadium. It'll be the home opener for Brian Kelly. Glenn, thanks so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And in studio, rounding the corner and heading for home is the incomparable Jenny Ballard of Theater Baton Rouge. And there are not two productions coming in the next few weeks, but three at Theater Baton Rouge. But the one coming soon is one that I hear you won't want to miss. It's called
The Wizard of Oz, the little known title.
And what will happen on that stage with The Wizard of Oz?
So lots of magic, lots of familiar characters that you know and love, and lots of wonderful storytelling. It's our Young Actors program. This is our season opener for our 77th season, which of course begins this month. We have 42 young actors on our main stage telling the story of The Wizard of Oz, and our Dorothy, Molly Kate Scoopian, is just amazing. Our Tin Man, Adler Rice, our Scarecrow, Simone Sharp, and our Lion, Elizabeth Porsche. And of course, our wizard, Camille Coco. We have a young woman playing our wizard in this very 2022 production of The Wizard of Oz. Mm-hmm.
And this is the 18th or the 21st, I believe?
Yes, it that's opens like August 18th.
That's next week.
That's exactly right.
As in a week from tomorrow.
As in a week from tomorrow. And we are approaching sold out. We're really? Actually in the process of talking about adding a show. So stay tuned for okay. a special
well,
announcement.
For those who'd like to get the tickets while they're available, the best way to go is?
Go to our website, theaterbr.org, or you can call our box office at 924-6496.
Okay. And then after that, you gear up in a big way, as I state, in not another production, but two backing up The Wizard of Oz. What's happening?
So we have Tony and Tina's Wedding coming up. We did this several years ago, and we're bringing it back this year. It's a really wonderful comedy, kind of reality play, where a group of actors basically put on a wedding, and we invite the audience to join us at Green Oaks Funeral Home, which is where we will be doing Tony and Tina's Wedding. Who doesn't love to get married at a funeral home?
The productions at the funeral home?
Yes.
Really?
We're partnering with Crew of Apollo, and we're actually doing the entire production at Green Oaks Funeral Home, which is actually where we did it last time. It was a big hit. Should be lots of fun.
Did it work? It must have worked out rather well, or you wouldn't be back.
That's right. It worked out very well. And of course, we love Crew of Apollo. They're good friends mm-hmm. of ours.
And I'm sure all funereal activities will be suspended.
They will. We will not be sharing the space
in a time
with
of bereavement.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, it's amazing now. People are doing things in ways they did not before, but you will not be interrupting a funeral.
We will not.
I was at a hotel gym a few weeks ago, and I walked out of the gym, and I walked in the lobby. It was in the basement in the lobby. There's a wedding going on.
Really?
And I'm walking out in sweat clothes, walking right down the aisle where the bride and the groom are about to come. Anyway, that's another
story. I love it.
But there's another one after Tony and Tina's wedding, right? And this
yes.
one is?
So this is Doubt, a Parable. It's by John Patrick Shanley. It's our City Series opener. It's going to be taking place in our studio September 9th through 18th, and it's directed by Greg Williams Jr. Wonderful cast for that one as well, and we're looking forward to it. It's a great play.
Now, Greg Williams, he was involved in a major activity here that's kind of been suspended, right?
I know, New Venture Theater.
But he's one of the best, isn't he?
He is one of the best, and I think that
anything he does is good.
So I think so, too. He's a wonderful director. He's a wonderful
man.
When
is this one?
It's going to be September 9th through 18th.
And it is called?
Doubt, a Parable.
Okay, Doubt.
It's a well-known movie with Meryl Streep and Philip Seymour Hoffman.
And so, boom, boom, boom.
Boom, boom, boom. We're back with a vengeance, Jim.
Back with a vengeance, and you'll go from Theater Baton Rouge to Green Oaks Funeral Home. Back to Theater Baton Rouge.
That's exactly
with
right.
And Greg Williams. Well, we'll talk. Let's get Greg in here.
I would
hear
love
his
to.
Story. So we'll get him next month if we can. Thank you, Jenny Ballard. Thanks for all you do, and keep up the great work. Great treasure in our community, both Jenny and Theater Baton Rouge. First Financial, Tax and Accounting Services, and Jerry Lane Chevrolet provide signature support. Stay safe. Stay tuned.